Katie.
I'm Erica.
And this is Book Talk.
This is a special holiday Thanksgiving break episode that we wanted to record for you guys. And we just wanted to say hi and segue into our new book, which is Memorial by Brian Washington. And it is a buzz book. I'm like seeing it everywhere. I cannot wait to start reading it.
It is truly on my Instagram at least twice a day from different people, book clubs or celebrities that I follow. It is everywhere. We picked it before it was everywhere, I just want to say. And then everyone else jumps on board. So whatever. But you had heard of Brian Washington before, right? Or you had read him before?
Yes. Yeah, so I read his collection of short stories called Lot, which was, so this is his first novel.
This is his debut novel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Lot was amazing. I think I read it actually because I was part of the Goop book club. I think.
It's just like so on brand for you.
I know.
To be in the Goop book club.
I'm actually not sure if it was a book club book or if they just had an event with Brian, but I remember reading it specifically like leading up to an event where he talked about the book and the characters in it. And it's like that short story section was so interesting. It was a bunch of different stories of like Black and Hispanic people in Houston, like, and just a bunch of different like relationship stories and different stages of their lives. Like he was able to tell so many different narratives that were kind of all like geographically located. Lot reminded me a lot of Tommy Orange's book They're There, where it's short stories that there is like an underlying theme connecting all of the characters. And in Lot, I think the underlying theme is kind of this particular section of Houston where Brian is from. So Memorial is sort of tied to Houston with one of right. the characters and one of the storylines.
Well, they both live in Houston now, right? The two characters live in Houston now.
They live in Houston at the beginning of the book.
Right.
And then one of them goes to Japan. So right. that's kind of where it's going to divulge.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it.
I'm so excited.
Yay. Do you want to tell everyone what pages we're reading this first week as we get started?
So the schedule is on our Instagram. You can also, like, you know, as we release episodes on Sunday, we try our best to remember to tell you what the reading is for next week or I put it in the show notes. But that's where we have this schedule. And for this first week, we're going to be reading pages 1 through 75, which is actually chapters 1 through 17, which is a little bit like the book is semi-structured in chapters and then it switches to two big sections of characters. So I tried my best to like flip through it without reading any of the pages, which was so hard to do. So we tried to break it down into four episodes for this book. Some of the right. chapters and pages are very short, so don't be intimidated. We're going to do around 75 pages each week.
Yeah, I think going forward, we're going to try to just do four episodes per book, no matter how long they are. So we'll try to be cognizant of that when we're picking them. But that way, I feel like Two Girls Down was kind of dragged on for a while. I mean, the book was good, but I was like, I can't wait to finish it for 4 weeks in a row because I was just waiting to finish it. We also started a newsletter this week. So if you do not follow us on social media and you want to keep in touch or you are using the Google Voice to text us or to get your alerts about what pages to read, you can join our newsletter. We're going to send it out every time that we start a new book. It will include a little synopsis of the book. It will include the schedule for reading for that book. And then anything else going on in our lives we feel like we need to share. You can join the newsletter by emailing us at booktalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can DM us on Instagram. I think that's the only ways to contact us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do that and join our newsletter. It's very cute.
We think so. Short.
I'm proud. First time using MailChimp and I'm here for it. Wasn't that hard?
Yeah, so those are our housekeeping, and then we thought we would do some grab bag listener questions about books and also just about our random lives.
This first question I feel like people ask me all the time, so I thought it was interesting we got it here as well. So do you ever get into a reading slump, and how do you get out of it?
No, I don't really get into a reading slump. I will say, like, before I read a new book, I sometimes am like apprehensive, like, oh, I'm about to go on a real journey. I don't know if I'm ready for it. It's like right before a hike where you're like, oh man, this is gonna be hard. But my one trick is that I get a lot of library books. And when you check out a library book, they tell you when you have to bring it back. And I'm very good about bringing my library books back on time because, believe it or not, in high school, I used to get library books and forget to bring them back. And that's how I own multiple books from the Westerville Public Library. And let me tell you what, if you don't pay your library fines, they will send it to a debt collector. That's what I learned in high school.
I didn't know that. Did you, wow, did you pay off that debt? Like, did you have
yes,
a debt
I did.
Collector?
Yeah, I did have a debt. Yes, I had like a $6 charge from like a debt collector for a book that I took from. I was like maybe undiagnosed ADHD when I was in high school because there were a lot of like little things I never did. Like I have a DVD of like 3 episodes of season 3 of Gossip Girl that I got from Blockbuster and just never returned.
Wow. I have 2 comments on this. One, what kind of debt collector is collecting $6 debts and making any kind of money and is still open? Okay, so that's an interesting point. And 2, I never stole library books, but I did just like steal books as a kid.
Oh my God.
I would be, my mom will attest to this if she listens. We would be like at a like resort or a hotel or something, and they would have like a little library of books. And I would, the first time I like just took it, I mean, I was in the middle of the book. You can't just like leave it. What would I have done? Not finish the book? So I took it. My mom made me send it back with a note. But then after that, like I would still just do it. I would just like take the books. I would just start reading them. I'd finish whatever books I brought. And then I would.
Unbelievable.
I mean, of all the habits your kid could have, I feel like that wasn't the worst thing I did, but it also could have been worse. I think when I get in a reading slump, like I just, if I get out of the habit, I think it usually happens when I just get too busy. Like I just get into like a new habit of not doing it. I always read something easy or fun. Like I think sometimes if it's also I'm about to start a book that's intimidating or that I think is going to be like a journey, as you said, I just will avoid starting it. So then I read something easy, like All Adults Here, that I can read quickly and love, and then I'm back in the habit.
Great.
Thank you for that validation.
The second question is, what is your favorite thing that you've bought in quarantine?
I spent a really long time thinking about this question because I was like, I've bought so many things in quarantine. But I think a skincare routine is my answer. Like the whole thing. I had no skincare pre-quarantine, and now I have like 3 or 4 things that I use on a semi-regular basis.
Where did you get inspired for your skincare routine?
Well, I was on the phone with like 3 of my girlfriends, and we were just talking about something I can't remember, but I mentioned that like I don't wash my face in the morning, and I don't understand why people do. And everyone really they were like, "You're almost 30, like you have to start washing your face." And I was like, "Why?" So, and then everyone guilt shamed me into it, and then. You did some sort of like Instagram influence thing of your skincare products. And I was like, so it's just me who doesn't do that. And then I bought skincare things. It's true.
Yeah. I also bought a lot of skincare products after watching Hyram videos on TikTok. He's like an inexpensive skincare influencer. So I bought a bunch of CeraVe products, which I highly recommend.
CeraVe products.
My other quarantine purchase that I love is I bought a bidet. I bought
I love that
the Tushy bidet. I finally like I had heard about this product. It's basically like an inexpensive bidet that you can like install underneath your toilet seat, but that is pretty minimal install, and I love it. It's amazing.
You do love it. People are really loving their bidets. Everyone who gets one is like, this is amazing.
It doesn't make any sense. If you picked up dog poop and some of it got on your hand, how would you clean your hand, Katie? With soap and water. You would wash it. Exactly. I'm just saying. That's what our butts deserve it. Our butts deserve better.
Analysis. Okay. I'm going to buy a bidet. Okay. If you hate a book, do you still finish it?
It's very rare that I actually hate a book. I think maybe like Stray was the last book that I didn't love. But I'm always like, maybe they'll redeem themselves by the end. So yes, I usually finish it regardless of whether I like it or not. I have put down books that I really do not like. And I don't feel any shame about doing that. But usually I finish it just to see if they win me by the end.
I feel like I rarely don't finish a novel. I said 90% of the time do I still finish it, because I think that sometimes I read books like about work or like leadership development or like self-help-y-ish books. And those sometimes I'm just like, this isn't doing it for me, and we'll put it down and not finish it. But I would say if it's like a novel, I definitely am like, maybe this will redeem itself by the end. And also the principle of just like, I can't not finish the book.
Oh, okay. This question, Katie, when we all have this amazing COVID vaccine and we're finally allowed to leave the United States, where is the first place that you want to go to when we can travel?
Well, I'm still hoping to go to Scotland in the spring, and I haven't let go of it yet. So
I love that dream for you.
Shut up. I would really like to go to Scotland. I think I'm going to end up not doing that. So I really want to go to Scotland. That's like on the list. I think right now I'm still daydreaming about all the trips I had to cancel. So Scotland and Tuscany. But also, I really want to go to Tunisia. So, I mean, we'll see. What about you?
So many places.
I know.
I was supposed to go. So within the U.S., which I guess I could actually probably do this. Within the U.S., it was on my list to go to San Francisco for the first time this year.
You've never been to San Francisco? August.
I've never been to San Francisco.
So I was thinking about going in like March, literally.
I was going to go to Vancouver and San Francisco in August. So that got canceled, and that would be definitely on my list. But in terms of like international travel, I really want to go to Japan.
I really want to go to Japan too. I really want to eat sushi in Japan. Are you eating fish right now in your life?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fish. So you need to go to Japan, get some sushi. Okay, what is your favorite holiday tradition?
So every year on Thanksgiving, pre-COVID, we would be that family that ran a turkey trot, and I love doing it. I know. It's such a controversial opinion. And it was actually hard. So this was not a 5K. It was an 8K, which is like 5 miles. Not a joke. It took effort. But like all the like cousins and kind of younger crew would go and run the turkey trot. Then there was like this big party at the convention center. This is in Buffalo. It's like one of the longest running turkey trots. And there was a big party and a band. And mostly it was just nice because it got us out of the house. It also felt good to like go for a run. And then we would go back home, sit in the hot tub, start drinking. And then in a couple hours we would eat. It was like the best like combination of like relaxing, challenging, fun day ever. That's my favorite. And now it's gone. We did not do that this year. I did work out on Thanksgiving because I'm crazy. Katie, what's your favorite holiday tradition?
I love to watch Christmas movies. I know that's also like an unpopular opinion. Whatever. I love to watch Love Actually. It's like such a cheesy rom-com movie, but I'm into it. And I don't like to exercise pre-eating my Thanksgiving dinner. This year we did take a long socially distanced walk with my grandma, though, and her dog. And I was like, are we becoming that family that like exercises? But we group voted no, so it's fine. I also love baking and eating cookies. My grandma on my mom's side used to like every year host all the grandkids over to like decorate cookies, and we would like 100% trash their kitchen, but like we would just spend all day decorating them and have cookies for the whole season. So yeah, I like both. Aww, of those.
That's fun.
Yes.
Okay, do you believe in astrology / the Enneagram? I love that it's like putting these two in the same bucket. Which I kind of agree with, but go ahead, you first.
Yeah, I feel like this question was more geared to you than me, but maybe not. I will say that I like astrology and Enneagrams when they agree with me, and I also like when somebody else, like Elena, always wants to know what like my Enneagram is, and I'm like, sure, read me all the questions and I'll answer them and you tell me what I am. So I'll do it then. I guess as a principle, I kind of like it. I feel like it's also kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like any of the things that it tells you about your day or your life or what's going to happen to you can be applied to your relationship, your career, your house, whatever, to whatever you want it to be anyways. Is that a cynical view? I don't know.
No, I feel it's fine not. About it. I have like I have actual like data and research on this, which is
I'll try not to be too annoying.
No, but this question is like fascinating to me. So one thing about I don't like the Enneagram because I think they are really vague and I'm not like super clear on what the types are. I will say like so I study authenticity and what makes people feel like themselves, and like we all know the experience of like maybe not all of us, but a lot of people know this experience of like seeing a great astrology meme that like applies to you and being
I look at them all the time.
Yes. And that makes you feel good. It makes you feel like yourself. So this is like part of my research. I would like manipulate what people see and look at what makes them feel authentic. And it was really interesting because I tried to use the Enneagram and like basically I tried to show people a fake Enneagram type and tell them that it's their Enneagram type. And they did not feel authentic when I did that, which I hated because I was like, shit. I was like trying to show that like there's this psychological effect called the Barnum effect, which is basically like if someone tells you something vague about yourself, you believe that it is true. So people just tend to believe these like you're a hard worker, but sometimes you get frustrated by a setback. Like everyone thinks, yeah, that is totally me.
Right.
So this is like well known in psychology and I thought I could like manipulate it and show that it works with authenticity, which like maybe I will down the road, but it seemed like actually when I told people a fake Enneagram type that they didn't buy it, which I was like, shit.
That is hilarious. What is the one, like when I remember I was driving, you know, I remember things in specific instances.
Yes, but
I
know
driving
exactly what you're gonna say.
To Tennessee and you called me and you're like, have you done this test thing yet? And I was like, no, read me the questions. And you were like, yeah, here you go. What was that one?
That was human design, which is like more about like how you process energies. And with human design and also with astrology, they're based on like the calendar year. So like the time that you were born. And the only reason I tend to think that there's some kernel of truth to that is that our society is so calendar based. That, like, depending on where you were born in the calendar year, that predicts, like, the weather when your mom was pregnant with you. That predicts when you go to school, what class, like, if you're the older person in the class or the youngest person in the class, which totally changes your high school experience. I mean, we all remember the first person that, like, got their license.
Right.
That changes when you have your birthday. Like, are you the person who has a birthday during school? Are you a person that has their birthday during the summer? Like, all those like social gatherings around your birthday. Exactly. Or holiday birthday kids. Like there's so many different things
like that.
But so
it's not really the, it is the time. That's interesting. Cause it is just like at what point in the year, because society is built around the calendar more so than it is like, because you're born at 11/22, this is like a character trait of yours. It's more like because of this time and because we're so reliant on the calendar year, it affects so many things that are out of your control, like the school year. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of like personality psychology was really like built out of like people are certain types of ways and let's try and figure out kind of how what to call those different ways and how to measure them. Right. And the most reliable is what your big five personality is. But right. That's been more psychometrically proven. Like we can measure your big five pretty reliably.
Are we
and
in
it
class
does
right
predict.
Now? I love this.
Oh, God. Thanks. This is my TED Talk.
Say that part again.
So your big, like the big five questionnaire has been psychometrically validated, which means the test is pretty reliable. It taps into some kind of underlying construct and it's predictive of your behavior. Other things have not been shown to be valid like that. Like the MBTI, the Enneagram, stuff like this is more like frou-frou. But I don't think the big five really started out from any more of a super valid place. It was to like, two psychologists who were kind of sitting down and writing out different types of people, and then they use this like survey again and again and again to try and like refine the types. So I don't know, it's a human project to try and like understand ourselves and what kind of person we are, and it's definitely very, regardless of whether it's true or not, it's very psychologically rewarding to feel like, oh, I'm this type of person. Yeah, so I'm not like against people like looking for that kind of information.
Right. I think it's like it's very validating and affirming. It also like helps to kind of build structure on what you think of yourself, which I feel like we're constantly trying to do to like further understand who we are.
Exactly. That's a whole chapter of my dissertation is about trying to figure ourselves out.
Okay, what fictional character do you have the biggest crush on?
So I was just going back through all of these books that I read in 2020 and specifically books that I read that I never want to read again. And one of them was The Idiot, which is about this like girl.
I thought you hated that book.
I didn't hate it. I liked it, but I never want to read it again. It's like this like the main character is this like kind of lost girl who like shows up at Harvard and cannot for the life of her figure herself out. And everything is like overwhelming. It's definitely that like those years of your life where you were like grasping at straws to try and like figure yourself out. And could get very easily like lost. And she has a crush on this grad student named Ivan. Ivan is my crush. He's just so unavailable, so smart. Like, ugh, Ivan.
As
that's
a
my crush.
Counter option to an unavailable Ivan, I'm going to say Ivan from The Bachelor for this week's fictional character that I love. He's very emotionally available.
First of all, Ivan is also very real.
Oh, yeah. I guess he isn't fictional. Oh, my God. Sorry, Ivan. Okay, but he's, like, on a TV show, and that's – I read that question like that. And so I'm still going to go with Ivan the Bachelor.
Katie, what is your fancy coffee order?
An oat milk flat white with one pump of caramel. But I also just drink oat milk lattes at home as well. So maybe it's a flat white at home. I don't know. But I also feel like I like to be a basic witch at least twice a year and get a pumpkin spice latte in October and a peppermint mocha in December. So, you know, just a couple times.
That's like a dessert. It's like so,
I know.
So good.
But now they have the pumpkin cream cold brew, which I feel like isn't as sweet but still tastes like pumpkin. I did have a peppermint mocha and we drove to like Athens for a little Thanksgiving deliveries. And I was like, this is chocolate first thing in the morning. I am not going to feel good in an hour. And I didn't because now I'm almost 30.
My senior year of high school, I used to get a 5-shot venti pumpkin spice latte.
Erica.
I don't know how I'm alive.
One time I did, Nick brought me a quad like caramel macchiato, which I also occasionally drink, and I literally was like visibly shaking with my whole body. I was like, this is so much espresso.
You know, I think my fancy drink, which is not that fancy, is an oat milk latte because it's what I get if I'm like going to like any coffee shop, but also now it's what I drink on a regular basis, which is like the one thing I feel like I've stopped buying since COVID that I feel like I don't need anymore. Like,
yeah,
I bought an espresso. I got an espresso for my birthday and I make myself oat milk lattes and I don't miss it. Who would have thought? What do you usually ask Alexa to play most often? Like, what's your go-to artist?
I think Jason would definitely say it's John Mayer, who he now hates. But I'd say John Mayer, or I just say, Alexa, play me something jazzy. She'll probably start playing now. Or when I'm cleaning Lizzo on volume 10.
Cute.
What do you ask?
Well, I have a Google Home, so I usually say, hey, blank. I'm not going to say it because he's right. I'm looking right at him. He'll perk
it's
right
him.
Up. Yes, I enjoy bossing a man around to turn the lights on and such. Usually I tell Google to play The Hundertones all day, every day, my favorite band.
Okay, paging Dan, please, paging Dan. The Spotify or Alexa will not play The Hundertones, and I need you to, like, fix it because it's very annoying. And I do have the album, so I can play it, but it's, like, not the same.
Do you say, like, Hundertones, like, very clearly?
Yeah, and the other day I did that, and she played the Deftones, and I was like, nope, that's not it.
I'll call Alexa.
Thank you so much. And also Dan. Just call them both and get someone to fix this for me.
The Hundertones are a dance band, in case you guys did not get that reference.
And I would listen to them when I say something jazzy. I would like it to be The Hundertones, but it's not.
Is it playing it through Spotify? How is it playing?
It can play through Amazon Music or Spotify, and neither of them come up.
Because sometimes I'll start the whatever I want to listen to, I'll start it on my phone, and then I'll just cast it to the speaker.
I could do that. I've actually never downloaded the app, but I could download the app.
It's helpful. But my real answer, so I just got my like Spotify Unwrapped for the year, which like tells you what you listened to.
Oh yeah, my tells real what answer, you really do.
My real answer is podcasts, because I have listened to over 30,000 minutes of podcasts this year.
How many hours is that?
It's days. It's multiple days.
Okay. Yeah.
It's multiple days of my life that I've spent listening to podcasts.
I love this question. What is one habit you wish you could break?
So I've heard a couple of solutions to this. So it is a possibility that I could break this habit. But my bad habit is that I will wake up in the middle of the night or not be able to sleep or first thing when I wake up and I will fucking scroll. Just scroll. And I Mark don't usually explicit. Do that. Oh, yeah. Oops. But I don't do that much during the day. But at like when I can't sleep, there's nothing worse for getting yourself back to sleep than staring at a beam of light. Just shooting entertainment into your brain. But that's what I do. It's such a bad habit, especially first thing in the morning. I know it's bad, but whatever. So many of us do it, and that's just, it is what it is.
I don't ever do it in the middle of the night. That's interesting. But I do it when I can't fall asleep or first thing in the morning. And I've heard you can put your phone in your other room. And my excuse is always like, but what about an alarm clock? And I'm well aware that I could just purchase one. But I do think it's a hard habit to break, to like have your phone in the other room. We're so attached to them. But yeah, I think that ties into mine, which is I have no morning routine. It is like wake up 30 minutes before my first meeting, scroll mindlessly on my phone, run around the house like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to like brush my teeth and get a latte before I like sign in. Like, it's not good. And I work from home now, so I don't even have a commute. So I just like get out of bed 25 minutes before my meeting. It's like awful. I'm working on creating a morning routine. It's been like forever. Well, I would like to say I started working out at the beginning of quarantine, and then I mean COVID happened, so I forgot all about those kind of goals.
Well, 2020 is around the corner. If your goal is to do those things, then Katie and us, oh my god, 2021, thank god. I forgot. 2021, delete the whole year, we're starting again. If you have tips for us on those habits, let us know. And if your habit is to read more books, follow along. Book Talk Podcast, tell your friends.
But that's not a habit you should break.
No, that's a habit you want to add. Your habit that you want to break is scrolling your phone. Replace those 30 minutes by reading a book, and then you can just tell people that you read books at parties and they'll think you're really annoying. You're cool. Just like me.
Same.
They're like, wow, another book or another podcast, Erica. Fascinating.
Okay, so everyone go buy Memorial by Brian Washington. We start reading tomorrow, so we can't wait to get into it. We'll talk to you all next week.
Bye. Talk is made by me, Erica Bailey, and Katie Cheney, with production support from Dan White. Our theme music is by Dan White. We'll see you next week.